First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. Getting you all the headlines that you need to know, starting off the hour. David Price has agreed to pay Los Angeles Dodgers minor leaguers $1,000 each to help during coronavirus. So he hasn't thrown a pitch yet for the Dodgers, but he's made a huge impact. The all-star left-hander will pay each minor league player who's not on the Dodgers 40-man roster $1,000 for the month of June, sources confirmed to ESPN. Incredible kindness that will impact just over 200 people facing unprecedented financial difficulty in that minor league system. So obviously the Dodgers had already committed to continuing their $400 a week payments to minor league players, domestic as well as those training out in the team's facility in the Dominican Republic through the month of June. But remember, the A's decided to cease those payments at the end of this week. Other teams might follow suit. So David Price getting out there, using his money to do something about it, help the rest of the guys that are in that organization. Speaking of within the organization, finally have now heard from Bradley Beal, the Wizards star, as he was asked about being part of trade rumors. And even in the middle of a pandemic, his name has emerged. The New York Daily News last week reported that the Nets have had internal discussions about pursuing the 26-year-old Wizards guard, who signed a two-year $72 million extension in October. His quote, "It's not the first time I've heard this kind of talk. It's interesting to me. I look at it as a sign of respect that I've been doing good things and guys want to play for me." So, obviously, Bradley Beal keeping a little perspective here, and a reminder that the Nets nowhere near done dealing, as they're going to continue to try and gear up next year for some sort of a run at the NBA championship. And lastly, on your headlines, the NCAA has offered a plan to bring athletes back to campus. They released a long, detailed plan Friday. A lot of heavy reading on this to help schools bring back athletes back to campus during the pandemic. The resocialization of college sports action plan considerations was announced as schools across the country prepare for the return of football players as early at some schools as June 8th. So last week, the council voted to lift a moratorium on athletes' athletic activities starting Monday. That cleared the way for voluntary workouts and training to begin at team facilities. Now there's a bit of a plan put in place by the NCAA. So the next step towards moving forward. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN News. Those are the headlines that you need to know. I will continue to say throughout the course of the morning that this is a very, very heavy day for the world, for America, for many of you that are listening. This is a heavy day for me. It's a very sad day for so many of us with what's been going on across the country and specifically in Minneapolis. I understand that. There's nothing I can do to fix that right now in this moment. I'll continue to try and have dialogue with everybody I can to do better, be better, and demand better of each other and the people that are in your lives. In the meantime, all we can do on this show is try and offer some level of escapism. That's still my job, and that's still our job here at ESPN. So what we're going to try and do is escape a little bit with sports talk. That's the best we can do to try and give everybody at least a small reprieve right now. And that's why we're doing what we're doing. So we're doing that by having you be a part of the conversation. We're trying to ask you, should league champions have an asterisk next to their wins given the changes in the playoffs? Why not? Yes, no. Tell us the answer. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. Matt in South Dakota, what do you got? What's your take, my friend?
Yeah, so Tristan called in and he said that teams like the 96 Bulls or the 73 win Warriors, those are kind of your exemptions from stuff like that. Well, and I'd counter that by saying the 73 win Warriors lost. You know, there is no guarantee or gimme, but we've seen so far that leagues like the NHL or the NBA, they're not taking a fast approach to this. They're figuring out a way that they can get a full field from each conference with the best eight teams from each conference into that field to have a full playoff. So I don't see the need for an asterisk or anything like that when you have teams like the Timberwolves or the Warriors who weren't going to be playing in anyway and had no shot. These teams all have, we're going to be there to begin with at the end of the season. So there's no need for an asterisk.
I see your take on it. Appreciate it. Thanks for calling the show. You know, I think to Tristan's point, he was more saying if a team had dominated the entirety of the regular season and then went on to win, the truncated or expanded playoff, however it ends up looking, would there be some level of, you don't put an asterisk next to that because it's proof of concept to what you already saw in the regular season, as opposed to losing in the playoffs. Now, that being said, I think one of the mindsets for me is specifically looking at the NHL. They've expanded the playoff, at least in this proposal with the NHL. Well, we all know that a hot goalie can get you to the Stanley Cup. So we might have a situation where a goalie gets hot on a team that otherwise wouldn't have made the playoffs, and then suddenly finds themselves running through the playoffs all the way to possibly the championship, or at least to hoist Lord Stanley's Cup, or at least to get to the point that they're in the Stanley Cup final. So should that happen, how do we approach that? I think that's where it gets a little more difficult. Like if the NBA expands their 16-team playoff just because they want to find a way to cram Zion into this thing somehow, what's it mean? So that's why we're asking the question. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get some thoughts on the hockey side of it, particularly from one of the best, in just a minute. But let's get to some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Should there be an asterisk? Well, that's what Max, Dominique, and Jalen Rose debated today on First Take.
Yes, of course. It doesn't mean necessarily that it's diminished in some way, that it's a lesser thing, because Wendy is right. You know, you've overcome more in this season, but it's not a typical season. I expect something funky to happen because of the much smaller, not just smaller sample size, but because of the circumstances changing suddenly and as drastically as they did. I even think about 99 guys when the Knicks were an 8 seed that made it to the finals. That never happens, right? But it happened in that season because it was abbreviated. It played 50 games or something like that. And oftentimes you'll hear people say when they talk about the Spurs dynasty, if you're arguing with someone about it, they won 5 championships. Well, 4.5 because of 99. Fair or not, whether there's literally an asterisk or not, there is in people's minds. There's something signifying that this season was different. Maybe under normal circumstances, that team wouldn't have won and that team would have. It's entirely possible, particularly if reseeding occurs, since there's no travel, if especially when you hear so many talking about this is an opportune time to try things that you ordinarily wouldn't. Enough has changed that I think whoever wins, people say, oh, that was a little different. And guys, Dominique, you think the Lakers are going to win. I think the Clippers are going to win. If the Denver Nuggets win, if Utah wins, if something like that happens, don't, let alone if the team you predict doesn't, don't tell me you won't think that these unusual circumstances had something to do with it.
I absolutely do think that unusual circumstances will have something to do with it, but unusual circumstances have something to do with every season. We just have to go back to last NBA season. There were unusual circumstances there that led to who we found out who the champion was. You said yesterday that the Warriors would have won if they didn't have two catastrophic injuries to their best player. So there are unusual things that are going to happen. This is, well, I mean, Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant.
Yeah, no, I'm
good
saying,
player.
But I would have taken the Raptors to win had Klay not got
hurt. Either way.
And it was just Durant. I still would have taken that. We can't prove that. It's what happened.
Yeah, either way, it doesn't matter. But, I mean, there are always unusual circumstances. I agree that this year is going to be really unusual. The circumstances are going to be heightened. But I wouldn't put any sort of asterisk next to this, because even though I understand what you're saying and what Wendy said, and I said it a few weeks ago, that I do think that this champion is almost more or might be more impressive than other champions, that's not the way we use asterisks. Like, when we use that, we talk about Barry Bonds or Mark McGwire. Those are the type of things we use it with to talk about people who potentially use PEDs. Like, it's not a positive thing. It's never been a positive thing. So if you want to change it to something else, maybe you want to do a star or a hashtag next to it. I don't know what symbol you want to do, a semicolon, something that makes it look positive. That's fine.
You want
to
change
not
it?
That's not what an asterisk is.
Stigmatized.
Has it not been? Like, it has been stigmatized. That's what it means. It represents something negative. And I don't think that whoever wins this championship should feel any less. And honestly, no one says that the Spurs won 4.5 titles. That's the first time I've ever heard anyone say that, when you just said it a few minutes
what?
Ago. No one talked. No
you
one.
Never
no
had
one,
a sports argument?
No, I've had plenty of sports arguments, but no one said that they don't get credit for that championship. There's been plenty of times that things have happened in sports. There have been players on strike in football, and then people win the team wins the Super Bowl, doesn't get that Super Bowl discounted.
Okay, to be clear, there wouldn't actually be any actual symbol next to the title, but let's bring in Jalen Rose here for this discussion. And Jalen, as we get your opinion on this, what do you think? Should there be an asterisk next to the 2020 NBA champion if the NBA is able to return?
Absolutely not. Dominique is right. Max, I like your shirt, but I hate your argument, and here's why. Because usually that pertains to something that disgraces the game. When you talk injuries, matchups, what about sometimes in the NBA when the best teams in a conference, say, for example, this year, the Los Angeles Lakers and the Clippers, I bet you would take them in the finals as the two best teams, but they won't make it to the finals. When you look back at the history of the game, of course, people like us, Max, who analyze and overanalyze and do this for a living, look deeper into the box score and be like, in 1987, such and such was hurt in the Western Conference Finals. And in 1993, the two best teams happened. And that year it was a lockout. And now fans don't have that wealth of knowledge in theory for generations prior. So people just ring count. And that's what people go do now. And you are too. You and I both know if Kawhi Leonard win the championship this year and win finals MVP, you're going to put that on his tab like last year against the Warriors when they were injured in the finals. Never happened.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. People getting fired up about this asterisk conversation. That's from Straight Talk, Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less. Only at Walmart. We'll keep taking your thoughts on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Before we do any of that, though, we're going to be joined by one of my favorite. There are very few people in my life that I look around and I'm starstruck the first time I meet. I'll tell you, as a little kid, this is your random peek behind the curtain for me. As a little kid, I was introduced to hockey as a big LA Kings fan living in Vegas as a kid. Barry Melrose was the coach of those Kings teams. And as I was walking down the halls the first time he was walking towards the calf, I just sat there like a child with my mouth just wide open. So now we get to talk to Barry Melrose. Joining the show. Coach, thanks for the time. I just appreciate you coming on and hanging out with us, talking a little bit of hockey. So when you saw the return to the NHL, the plan, what was your initial reaction?
A little bit shocked. I figured that, you know, the way that they're going to have to bring it in was bring in pods where it would be a certain number of teams in a certain area. The more and more I saw it, the more and more I liked it. I like people that are creative. I like people that will think outside the box. I don't think anyone thought that hockey would be starting as quick as it did. I think people were looking at the NBA maybe to start the fastest, maybe baseball, because obviously they've got the diamonds in Arizona and they got the diamonds in Florida. It looked like it would be an easy thing to set that up, but hockey put their mind to it, and they got together in a box and basically just closed the door and said, guys, we're not coming out until we get something that's going to be a feasible game, and we're going to play hockey, and we're going to play hockey at a very high level, and we're going to make it exciting as hell. So I applaud the NHL. What they've done in such a short time, it's hard. Anyone who's ever been in politics or, you know, whatever it is, student government, whatever it is. I know you must have been a member of student government, no doubt about that. But it's hard. It's hard to get things organized, and it's hard to get 20 people to get in agreement. And we've got 24 teams in agreement. So I applaud the NHL. I applaud what they've done. And right now, the plan should work. It looks like it's a viable plan with the East coming out of one side, the West coming out of another side. And that'll make it exciting. And we've got some great, great young players. And another thing that people don't talk about, probably the healthiest teams have ever went into the playoffs. Stamkos is healthy. You know, these guys are always beat up. Atkinson from Columbus is always beat up. And he's healthy as heck right now. So this is probably the healthiest group of NHL athletes we've ever had go into a playoff series.
We're talking to ESPN NHL analyst Barry Melrose on First Take, Your Take. I'm Jason Fitz. So with that being said, you know, I had the opportunity, Barry, to cover the Preds when they went on their Stanley Cup final run. And, you know, at that time, so much of the conversation, you get a hot goalie, a hot team, even if they're a low seed, they can go deep. They can even win it all. We saw that with St. Louis, right? So is there any concern in your mind by expanding the playoff that a low seeded team that wasn't as good during their regular season goes on a run and sort of steals the championship?
I'll tell you, John Butchegrass and I do college hockey every year. Every year, there's an upset. Every year, there's a 14 cleans up, and it just happens that way. There's going to be upsets. There's going to be a team that gets beat by a much lower seed, and that's the thing about the best of ones. Best of ones scary as a coach. Best of sevens, even the best of five, the best team usually wins. But a best of seven, a lot of upsets, and that's what I'm scared of. If I'm one of those teams that had a regular season that was really good. Matter of fact, I heard Nashville talking about it this morning, and they're saying, we're the luckiest team in the world. We were terrible this year. We're one of the most underachieving teams that the NHL has seen in years. We've got a ton of talent, and we never got the job done. Now, this team has a chance to win the Stanley Cup. A team that was terrible during the regular team, a team that underachieved during the regular season, has a chance to take a run at winning the Stanley Cup. So it's an upset, but it'll happen. I can guarantee it'll happen. There'll be lower seeds beat higher seeds, and all of a sudden we're sitting there, and a team that we thought was done will be moving on to the next round, or a team we thought, like Nashville, one of the better, most talented teams in the NHL, not get the job done and lose out in the first round. So get there and cheer, because you don't know how long your team's going to be cheering for. Number one, might not be any people in the crowd, but also it's going to be some interesting games. There'll be some games where a goaltender gets hot, just as you mentioned, or a penalty killing gets hot, a power play gets hot. Some great young player is just on fire. We see that every year also. So it's going to be fun to watch, man. There's going to be a lot of interesting things happen in the first couple rounds. And we've got the best of three, best of fives. You know, those things are very, very exciting also. So best of five, my saying has always been, best team always wins in a best of five. But when you're getting into best of ones and you're getting into the basketball scenarios where one team wins everything, that's a scary situation for a hockey coach.
We're talking to ESPN NHL analyst Barry Melrose. So you mentioned no fans. If you were on the bench, how would you handle that as a coach?
Fans never cheered for me anyways. They were usually booing me by then, so I never really cared what the fans thought. Less people in the building, less noise they make when I touch the puck. So it's going to be unique. It's going to be unique in all the sports. We saw it in NASCAR. But, you know, when it does happen, how many people are going to be in the crowd? Are they going to go seat, empty seat, something like that? It's going to be interesting what they do. But, you know, it's these guys are professional athletes. They love to play in front of their fans, but they want to play. I thought it was a real sign of the times that the NHL and the NHL Players Association was able to get that thing straightened out so fast. A lot of player associations don't get along with the NHL owners, or not NHL owners, but any owners. And I think you saw how badly both these groups of athletes wanted to play. The owners wanted to play, and the players wanted to play. And they did it in a short period of time. So I applaud both groups of people here that were able to get this thing straightened out and taken care of in such a short period of time. It's pretty amazing.
Everybody's healthy. Everybody's fresh, at least in theory. So who do you got? Who do you think this is the biggest advantage towards?
You know what? I it's hard for me not to go Bruins because of the fact that the lineup they have, that nothing's going to surprise them. They're not going to be surprised by a hot goaltender. They're not going to be surprised by their team struggling a bit. They'll be ready to play. Obviously, St. Louis is very good with what they did last year. I think they're the two best teams. I like Vegas. I like Vegas' speed. I think they're going to be a very, very tough team to watch. Dallas could maybe be my surprise team. I like this Dallas team a lot. They're a little bit like Nashville. They didn't score last year, but they should have been able to score. They should have been able to put the puck in the net more than they did. I think that could come back now and let them get a little hot in the offensive end of the rink, because they got a lot of skilled guys. They got a lot of good defensemen. They move the puck very, very well. They got great goaltending. Ben Bishop's as good a goaltender as there is. So I think the Dallas Stars could be a team that could do some damage. Obviously, Tampa Bay, they've got Stamkos back. You've got great goaltending. You got a very deep lineup. Kucherov, as good as anybody in the NHL. Colorado, like Colorado a lot. Young team, a lot of skilled guys. You got McKinnon, who's as good as any young player in the NHL. Rantanen is as good as any young player in the NHL. Big defense, Lehtonen, or on defense. Very, very good team. So there's some really, really good hockey teams out there. And again, when you're only playing like a best of three, you know, you can steal. If you go into the other team's building and you score at first, holy man, everything, the pressure's on them. Maybe they're young guys who don't know how to handle it, but there's going to be some upsets early where a team gets behind and maybe catches them by surprise and they're not used to it.
Barry, we appreciate your time. Hope you and yours are safe. Thanks so much for hanging out. Thanks for the great insight, Coach. We appreciate it.
Hey, hopefully I'll see you down in Bristol sometime, man. You take care.
Can't wait. ESPN NHL analyst Barry Melrose breaking it down there. Look, I don't think the NHL could get any better as a playoff. I don't think there's a better playoff than the Stanley Cup playoffs. I've said that until I was blue in the face. But to his point, this is going to be even more exciting because it will be electric. The series are so short, and there's so much to lose so quickly. So all eyes are going to be glued to it. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. We're going to keep taking your takes. Should league champions have an asterisk next to their wins? Why? Why not? Tell us. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. We'll keep getting more of your take. Plus, San Jose Sharks forward Evander Kane joined First Take earlier today to talk about the tragedy in Minnesota. You'll hear what he had to say. You'll hear that next. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Jason Fitz, and we're asking you, should league champions have an asterisk next to their wins this year when we get the playoffs? Should they get some sort of a acknowledgement that this wasn't the normal thing? Do you put the little star next to them? Why? Why not? Yes, no telling. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you can get in on the conversation. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. If you missed any of today's show so far, go check it out on demand in the First Take, Your Take podcast. Got some really great interviews with Buster Olney and with Barry Melrose looking at Major League Baseball and the NHL. That's all brought to you by Eno, the Capital One assistant that catches things that might look wrong with the credit card, sends an alert to your phone, and helps you fix them. What's in your wallet? CapitalOne.com for details. Look, we'll get back to First Take. I'm going to say this again for anybody that's just tuning in. Today, there are much more difficult things to talk about in the world than sports. There are more meaningful things to talk about in the world than sports. There's a great and important conversation to be had about how we can be better, how we can demand better, and how we can do better for everybody in our lives. I want that conversation to continue. However, you've come to ESPN, and I understand with some acknowledgement that the reason you're here right now is because likely you want some level of escapism. I'll do my best to help us get that throughout the course of this show, and I know that ESPN across the board will do our best as a network to continue to do that. So it is not, there are bigger things, but all I can do right now is try and offer a little escapism. That's why we do what we do, and that's what we're trying to do with these questions. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on the conversation. In the meantime, Evander Kane is an NHL superstar for the San Jose Sharks. He joined First Take today talking to Max, Dominique Foxworth, and Laura Rutledge with a specific conversation geared towards exactly what we're talking about today across the world and everything that happened to George Floyd in Minnesota. Okay, apparently we're working on that. We will find that, having a little bit of an audio issue there. So we will get Evander Kane's take on it, as soon as we can get it up here on the computers for you so that you guys can hear what he had to say about what happened to George Floyd and also what he's doing at this point to try and help the conversation and the action moving forward. We're seeing a lot of athletes that are taking this opportunity to use their platform to speak. And I think it's important. Look, I've said it before, and we can turn this into a sports conversation. If we looked at our sports topics, if we looked at our sports fandom, and we did it with the same level of passion that we do about these issues that we all know are so wrong, maybe we could affect change. If we held people to the same standards that we hold as fans to do better and be better, if we were there for each other in the same way that we're there for our friends when their favorite team loses a game or wins a game, if we had that same level of passion and conviction towards the world that we have towards the sports that we consume, what difference could we make? I don't know. Maybe it's an altruistic question. I'm also not blind. I understand that these are plights that I may never fully understand, no matter how much I try to. I don't hide from the
fact that I'm a middle-aged white guy. Like, I don't have to deal with what so many of the rest of the world has to deal with. So the best thing I can do right now is try and have hard conversations with people that I respect and love, that I think are smarter than I am, that are better than I am handling these things, to find out how I can make more of a difference. Maybe that's all I can do right now. Maybe all I can do is look around to my friends and have a higher standard. Maybe all I can do is look around to sports fans and have a higher standard to what we say and what we do and how we treat and how we love everybody that's around us. If that's all I can do, if that's all this microphone allows me to do, if it just makes the world a little better for one person, it was worth it. Right now, I feel we're all hurt. We're all trying to figure out how to fix the world. And I think particularly, it feels like there's a large group of people that want to come together and just don't know what to do next. I don't know the answers on what to do next, but what I know is I'll keep asking the questions until I can figure it out, and I'll do everything I can to try and make the world a little bit better. That's all we can do. Evander Kane joined First Take. This is what he said about what he's doing specifically when it comes to George Floyd. He said this with Evander Kane, Max, Dominique Foxworth, and Laura Rutledge.
This is not an African-American problem, right? This is a white person problem, largely. This is the behavior of, in this case, a white officer. And oftentimes that is the case. What does it mean to you as a professional athlete that other professional athletes who are white are speaking up about this, or European American are speaking up about this, like Carson Wentz, for example?
That's the point. You know, we need so many more athletes that don't look like me speaking out about this, having the same amount of outrage that I have inside. And using that to voice their opinion, to voice their frustration, because that's the only way it's going to change. We've been outraged for hundreds of years, and nothing's changed. You know, it's time for guys like, you know, Tom Brady and Sidney Crosby and those type of figures to speak up about what is right and clearly in this case, what is unbelievably wrong, because that's the only way we're going to actually create that unified anger to create that necessary change, especially when you talk about systematic racism.
Yeah, hockey locker rooms are unique places in American sports, at least with the composition of them, especially when something like this comes up. So I wonder what you and your friends and your teammates are talking about. What is the conversation? Are there a bunch of other hockey players who don't look like you who are ready to get on board and to speak out and to sign petitions and do the things that you've done?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I haven't seen too much. You know, what I do know is that in terms of my teammates, you know, they're unbelievably supportive of me and what I stand for. And I think hockey, unfortunately, has a different culture than some of the other sports in terms of speaking out and using your voice and speaking your mind. And you know, I think for me, I'm one of the anomalies when it comes to NHL players in doing that. And you know, that's another part of our problem is guys being scared to really speak their mind and stand up for what is right. And, you know, this example, one of many, unfortunately, have continued for the last number of years and ever since I've been alive.
Evander, you mentioned the likes of Tom Brady, Sidney Crosby, some big names, you know, that are white in professional sports and in sports in general. What can they do that would help here?
Well, like I said, I think getting on board, you know, you look at, especially NFL, you know, the majority of their teammates are black, you know, and they're the leaders of their teams and, they have big voices and you know, in hockey, you know, it's a majority white league, by far. It's not even close. So we need to continue to come together and we talk about it all the time. We talk about how sports is for everybody. We talk about how, you know, it's, you know, sports is where you bring people together. It's everybody's, you know, it's an inclusive thing. But when we talk about our own personal battles outside of sports, there's a lot of people that are silent on issues, and they're important issues. They're issues that have been going on for hundreds of years, and we need that same type of team mentality to be brought to issues outside of our sport.
Let's First Take Your Take on ESPN News, ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. The conversation is an important one, and I know we're here to distract, we're here to have some fun, we're here to talk about sports, and we're going to get right back to it. I'll just again tell everybody that the awkward conversations right now matter. And there's if there's anything that we can be doing, it's holding everybody in your social circle, everybody in your life, not just the authorities, not just the people at higher levels, everybody in your life to a higher standard. Be better, do better, have tough conversations, and try and figure out how we can, at a grassroots level, affect some level of change, in the very least, at the way we communicate with each other and the way that we live every single day with each other. If we do those things, maybe it's altruistic for me, but I believe that it can make a difference. And instead of waiting for everybody else to chime in and figure out how to fix it, if we start fixing every ounce of this that we see in our normal lives day in and day out, I think that there's power to that. I have to believe that there's power to that, because that's the only hope right now I think so many of us are clinging to. This is an opportunity for all of us to look at it and say, how can we be better? How can we demand better? Not just from ourselves, not just from everybody else that's above us, but also everybody else that's around us in our lives. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We're going to get back to your take. We'll get some of your thoughts on whether or not sports should have an asterisk next to whoever wins the title. Plus, we'll get some thoughts on UFC. That's all coming up. Dana White joined First Take to talk about the obstacles they faced in getting UFC 250 back to Vegas. You'll hear what they have to say. It's really interesting stuff. That's coming up next. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. Should league champions get an asterisk next to their wins? And will I ever be able to say that word easily? Probably not. The question is yes or no. Why or why not? That's how you get in on the conversation. Just call in the 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's the way you can get in. At Jason Fitz, you can chime in. We'll get some of your take in just a second. But First Take had a good conversation today with Dana White. He joined Max, Dominique, and Laura Rutledge to talk about UFC coming back and the obstacles of getting UFC 250 back to Vegas.
Just tell us, what were some of the challenges of getting this back to Vegas?
Vegas isn't as open as some of these other states are. And, everything's just starting to get rolling here. Restaurants opened this week. Gyms are opening today. And the casinos are going to open on the 4th. So, we're the first sport really coming back, and especially here in town. We have this, that's our facility next door, the Apex, which is basically our own arena. So, I mean, that's the safest place in the world for us to hold these events right now. We'll have half the staff that we normally have there. And everybody that's in the building will have been tested, and the list goes on and on. Plus, the three events that we did in Florida, I think, has made us smarter, more efficient. And, now we're home, and we can control a lot more here.
Dana, of all the major sports in this country, the UFC and MMA is the only one to come back. In certain respects, you have advantages, structural advantages. There aren't as many participants. In you, there's centralized control. It's not fragmented. And those are some of the reasons, I'm sure. Do you think there are others why the UFC is the only one we've seen on a world-class level since the outbreak?
Well, I think that everybody could do it. All of these different sports organizations could do it. The biggest problem is, you have a lot of different people in the mix, whether it's the league, then you have all the different owners with different opinions and different ideas on how things should be done. Here, one guy makes those decisions, and that's me. That's what makes it much easier, I think.
First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Like, that's part of what's interesting for what UFC's up against. I mean, there isn't a checks and balances. It's Dana White deciding what he's going to do and how he's going to do it. All right, we're taking your take. Should league champions have an asterisk next to their wins? Nelson in El Paso, what do you got? What's your thought?
How are you doing? It's the first time on a show. I listen to you guys all the time. Thank you for your awesome show.
Thanks, man. Thanks for calling in. What's your take?
My take is, if you're a favorite, if you're one of the top contenders, it's not a big deal. So if L.A. won, the Clippers or the Lakers or the Bucks, a team like that wins the championship, then it's not a big deal. But it is a big deal if there's a team that has to play in and win numerous games to get in, and then they win, then there's an asterisk. Because in our society in the last few years, there seems to be an asterisk on lots of those things. The Warriors last year, everybody knows pretty much that they win the championship if they have all their guys. But they didn't, and the Raptors won. So some people have there's an unofficial asterisk next to the Raptors' first championship ever. I'll let you guys talk about it.
Thanks. Man, thanks for your take on it. You know, I think that through some point, the dominance of Kawhi is sort of going to forgive whatever the asterisk might be for some people around Toronto. I don't feel like it's there. I think it's too special, which is why Milwaukee is very similar. Like, the Bucks win a championship, I think people are going to be so excited for what it means for Milwaukee, the NBA, and Giannis Antetokounmpo, that nobody cares about the whys, the hows, the whens, the wheres. Myron in Illinois, what's your take on this one?
Hey, Jason, I'm a huge fan. I'm kind of starstruck right now. But I would say that each team, like the guy before, he said it depends on the seeding. I would say if it's a top seed, then, like you said, it shouldn't matter. But I feel like people should also honor the Astros anyways, because if it's the situation that we're in, you know, and that's the situation that's brought upon the teams. So I feel like people should honor the asterisk, even if there is an asterisk.
No, I love that take. And thanks for calling in, man. I really appreciate it. You know, and there is part of me here that looks at it and says, my God, I mean, if the playoffs are expanded, if there's suddenly no crowds and they're in a neutral site playing some of these NBA games, I mean, we keep talking about an asterisk. Should we be giving them more credit? I mean, the ability to win in an expanded field when you don't have home court advantage seems like it would be even more difficult. Kevin in Texas, what's your take on it?
Hey, Jason. You know, I look at it this way. Like, if baseball and these other sports that are coming back and playing, hopefully baseball will play, you know, they get an asterisk on it. You know, it's not fair because you have, like, the Astros who cheated and the Red Sox cheated. They should have an asterisk for their world championship as well. And the Floyd thing, it's just terrible. It's really unfair and terrible.
Thanks for your take on it. And look, when you mention baseball, I think baseball should just get clever with all of us and rebuild their Hall of Fame shaped as an asterisk. Like, well, there's just so much at this point to look at across the board. I'll go back to, again, I think for me, when I look at a champion this year, I think the road to that championship is going to be even more difficult than it's ever been, between conditioning for players that haven't been able to play together, they're trying to gel together, and then going through, especially on the NHL side, as Barry Melrose pointed out earlier, short series where anything can happen. I mean, I think at some point there, it's easy to sort of look at this champion, whoever we get in each of these sports, through the negative lens. I'm going to look at it through a positive lens. If you can sort of get through all of these obstacles and survive it, that's incredible. Again, this has been a very difficult show for a lot of reasons of what's going on in the world. I just have to say to everybody, go out there, be better, demand better, do better of everybody in your life. Have the tough conversations, love each other, try and spread love. And if you're in a situation where you don't know how to help or what to do in the world we're in today, start reaching out to everybody you know that you think can give you guidance. There's nothing wrong with asking, how do I help? It's a question we should all be asking. It's a question we should all be listening to, and we should all be doing better. Have a safe and great weekend, guys. Thanks for listening. Love y'all.